This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. I thank you all for joining us. As always, it's a privilege to come to you guys over the digital airwaves and get to share thoughts and opinions and introduce you guys to some really awesome thought leaders that are in the industry. And today is no exception. Today, we are joined by Allie Knapp. And I'm going to let Allie tell you a little bit about herself. And then we'll talk a little bit about the company that she gets the privilege of working with and the people she gets to work with and how they're helping empower restaurants to do some different things. So, Allie, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? Where did you come from? And a little bit about your background, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be here and looking forward to the conversation today. As Jeremy said, I'm Allie Knapp. I'm the president of a company called Wisetail, which is a pretty amazing software company and that services, you know, the restaurant industry and beyond. But really, my background started, I graduated from Michigan State University. So I'm from Michigan originally, and career started out in the Silicon Valley working for Hewlett Packard, and so kind of always been in the tech space. You know, did varying different positions within Hewlett Packard, and then shifted to Wisetail when it was just really in the beginning stages of the company. You know, less than 20 clients, really small organization, and have seen the company go through all different you know, types of growth and a couple of different acquisitions, and so. It's been a really interesting journey and really neat to, you know, see the client base evolve, and excited to have the opportunity today to talk a little bit more about the restaurant space, which is really the core of Wisetail and kind of how our product was founded. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, for those that may not be familiar with Wisetail, I personally am familiar because as we were talking about it pre-show, I've got a few clients that use your guys' product, and there's probably more if we shared client lists that use your guys' stuff, because you guys are one of the best and certainly one of the early tools that were out there for learning management. But tell our audience a little bit about Wisetail, what it is. And I'll probably ask a few follow-up questions because a lot of people are like, what? There's like I can digitally learn. I don't understand. Is it like YouTube? Is it like Udemy? You know, tell me a little bit more. What is Wisetail? And really, I guess, why it got created, and we can dig into that as we go.
Yeah, sounds great. So I would say the reason it got created was because there was this need for consistency with training employees. So I think, you know, we've all been to the onboarding scenarios where your first day at work, you show up and you're kind of doing that shoulder to shoulder. There isn't really anything formal that you go through, and you're expected to pick all that up in a really short period of time and replicate it exactly the way that, you know, you were shown shoulder to shoulder, which changes from person to person, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think that was kind of the way that training was, you know, a few decades ago. And so it was a need, you know, Wisetail was created out of a need to scale meaningful, you know, onboarding and I would say culture in a consistent way. And I say that because, you know, learning management systems were created a while ago as well. But a lot of times those were systems that you were in for your first couple of days of work. And then, you know, you completed your training and it was kind of the one and done period. And really how Wisetail evolved that process was, how can we make a system that has all of those aspects, but also has that learner coming back to the system on a very regular basis? So as things change within the company, as processes change, and as communication needs to happen with our employees, we have this one-stop, you know, ecosystem that has all of that connected. And it's a system mm-hmm. that people like actually want to be in every day, look at it as, you know, it's my source of truth. It's kind of that heartbeat place. And so it was really created to be more than just learning. It was created to be a space where you gained all of your information as a learner, as an employee.
I love that. And I do want to clarify, because I do, I think you said it, but for our audience out there that, again, may not be familiar with learning management systems, we had a previous guest on, I don't know, probably 6 months ago, that they were really the people that built the process out. They weren't an LMS per se. It was a consulting group that worked with restaurants to say, what is best practice for how we do the prep line? What is the best practice for how we, you know, do our side work? What is the best practice? And they would write all of that stuff down, and then they would partner with somebody like Wisetail. Wisetail is essentially a digital version of what it is that you guys are doing. Is that correct? Am I correct in that that explanation? It's videos, it's checklists, it's you know, all of the stuff that they're supposed to do in their day in a way where I can go back to my digital Bible that says this is how it's done, right?
100% exactly right. And as someone goes in, the system knows exactly who you are, your location, you're logging in from all those pieces. So it really keeps a digital transcript with each individual, but we are that skeleton. So when you're saying that you had, you know, other people log on and have conversations with you that were more around the process and all of those pieces, we would, you know, a client would take that and then they'd put that into our system and deliver that out to the learner. So we're the skeleton and, you know, each company really creates the life within the system that is really unique to that individual business.
I love it. And again, I feel like I'm sitting at the head of the class because I'm familiar with what you guys do. But for those that are sitting out there, I'm going to ask some questions that you might be like, really, you're asking me this question? But it's amazing when I talk with some of our listeners, they're like, hey, I had these guys on, but I didn't quite get what they were talking about. I'm like, okay, so we're going to break some of these down a little bit more. And so so we talked about, or you talked about kind of in the explanation of what Wisetail is, the fact that it creates the culture, it creates the consistency, it creates that, you know, that skeleton that says, this is how we do it. Talk to me about the process of onboarding a new client, because all too many brands, I think, especially when you start with them, might not even have those things defined or might not like even think about. And so some of the listeners oftentimes are like, wow, this is so much work. I'm going to have to document every single thing I do. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys help people work through that process. Because again, you focused on restaurants. You guys have been around the restaurant business for a really long time. And as unique as everybody thinks they are, the truth is everybody's serving food. Everybody's greeting guests. Everybody's putting it on a plate or in a bag or in a box to get it to the guests. Everybody's taking payment. So a lot of the things are consistent. So there's basic framework. And then there's kind of the secret sauce that everybody has of what makes that brand a little bit differently. Talk to me a little bit about what that looks like for a client when they say, I really want to work with Wisetail. I want to understand what it is that you guys do. Help me understand what that process looks like for a restaurant that decides to move forward with your platform.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do have different ways that we implement with clients. So we kind of different implementation packages based on exactly what you were saying, kind of where you are at this moment in time. You know, you could have two restaurants and starting with, you know, really basic or no training materials to date, or you could be a very scaled organization, over 500 locations, and have a very robust, you know, training library that exists maybe even within a different system or otherwise. So we kind of work with each client, meet you where you are in that process. And the biggest thing I would say is you start small. So if you are in, you know, that where you don't have a lot of resources available to you today, we really work with our clients on how do you take what you do have, or how do you take, you know, even the employees that you have and record short videos and like work to get a small framework in place that you can then build on and build from. You definitely probably have some marketing assets that exist that are actually more externally facing. So using some of that and pulling that in and just shifting it slightly to be more employee facing is a great place to start if you're starting from that kind of that ground zero. And then really one of the neat parts of our system is called user generated content. So you can ask your employees to actually, you know, upload small videos or shoot things out in the field that you can then take those videos and use them for training content and start to kind of grow your system organically with those items. And so I'd say if you're in that spot, that's kind of your starting point. If you're one of the clients that has, you know, gone through implementations before and you have a lot more material, then we really take you through a full project management implementation where it's really, you know, I would say very set and you're working through on a week by week basis. We're actually going through a project management process in our own system. And it's probably a bit more defined process.
I love that. I love that. And again, I think it's just always interesting to see. And ironically, I was talking with one of my coworkers. He's got a college age son that went to go work at a brand, and their training was you're going to stand next to a guy for about 15 minutes, see what he does, and then you're on the line cooking wings. And he's like, really, that's what they did? And it's amazing. I'm sure you've seen the myriad of people that, you know, I know one of our clients. At least in the past, and I haven't talked to anybody on their training department in a long time, they would make people go through like 6 weeks of training before they could ever serve a guest. And then you have this other brand that's like a line cook. Literally, he was on the line this first day that he was out there without anything other than you take these wings out of this bag and you put them into this fryer, you push the button and say 8 minutes or whatever it is, and then you pull them out, you shake them three times and dump them into the deal. You know, so it's just kind of funny the myriad. And tell me a couple of stories as to how, you know, some of those kind of stories that you've seen, because I'm sure in your experience, you've seen lots of different people do it, or lots of different people that even thought they had it figured out. And then you discover through that process, they probably had 50% of it, you know, figured out. But then when you actually talk to the frontline workers, they're like, no, I don't have a clue how to do these things, or they make it up on their own because it's not been defined for them.
Yeah, that's it's true. And I definitely think we've seen all different, different scenarios in the restaurant space for sure, especially around training. I would say most clients that come to us have more than what they think they have, right? So a training department may come to us and be like, you know, this is what we're doing today. And it's kind of more of that shoulder to shoulder training process. And when we start diving in a little and uncovering things like some marketing materials that may exist externally, or even, you know, a lot of standard operating procedures in the restaurant space, sometimes those are done and they'll actually have short videos with those. Those are really easy. SOPs are really easy to convert into consumable training content for your employees. And, you know, take that, pair it with a short video, and you have maybe even a quiz at the bottom of it, and you have a pretty robust, training module. And so I think it's really just trying to get trainers to maybe even look at things slightly different on, you know, if we're starting from a very small group of material and getting them to think, okay, how can we put this into, visualize it and make it consistent? But we definitely see where, we have a curated stream for user content. So that can come in and need to be approved and pushed out to an audience after it's approved. And I think, you know, some of our restaurant clients will see all different types of videos being shot. If you say, give us a how-to video on using an app, right? And mm-hmm. they'll upload that to the, it will take screening through 20 or 30 of those videos to get one where it's like, okay, this is the proper way. This is how we want to then fold this out to the rest of the team. So it's just interesting that people can read a how-to guide, shoot a short video, and you can get a varying, 20 or 30 different videos uh-huh. that are completely different, right? So I think that goes to show us that like people learn in very, very different ways too. And that's one thing, is like trying to accommodate those different learning styles too.
I love that. I love that idea. And I love that consideration. And I know we'll talk a little bit later about just really how you guys have honed in on those different learning styles to make sure that people are doing that. One of the thoughts that came to mind when you were going through that, Ali, was really the whole, like, you've been doing this for a little while, right? You know, you've been doing this for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about the early days and how much you've seen this, not just the product of Wisetail, but really the industry of learning change because I know over your career thus far, when you started the way that you learned, because technology continues to advance every day, products continue to advance every day, the ability to have a phone in your hand or a tablet in your hand and connectivity to these restaurants, all of those things are very different. And then quite frankly, the consumer of that data has also shifted to, you know, I'm not old, but by any stretch, but you know what, I used to be able to sit down and read 10 pages at a time. And if it's not 140 characters or less, like people hardly want to even read nowadays. And I know that's a little bit of an exaggeration, and I'm not, those stupid millennials, they don't want to work. It's not that at all. It's just the styles of learning, you know, the ability to do video, the ability to have short pieces of text and string those things together, make it interactive. I am certain those things have changed. So give me a little bit of a history lesson about where it started and kind of how it's come along, if you don't mind.
Yes, I think that that's a great point. And when you were talking, all I could think in my head is like, it's getting shorter and shorter. And even when in the early, like I would say the early days, and I'll, you know, talk to like that 10 years ago period, you know, we thought we were doing micro learning, right? I think like even those early stages, we were saying, okay, we have, you know, different types of media, and we're trying to keep these modules in a shorter format, which, you know, let's say at that time we were targeting the 7 to 10 minutes, and we thought that that was like, you know, great standard for micro learning, right? Well, when we, you know, shortened things even further, and we got to a point where we thought like, this is as short as it can possibly be, right? I think that now we are still questioning ourselves of how can we get these learning moments in that are just so small, but actually resonate and are actually changing behavior. And so I think one thing we've seen across the board is just that shortened attention span, and that in the flow of work, we are we're so busy. We're very distracted by what it is that's in front of us that we're doing that we need to execute on. And so learning can sometimes take a back seat to that. So I think that what we're doing from a software standpoint and a product standpoint is trying to figure out how we can actually incorporate these small, little, meaningful learning moments in your flow of your work. And before, I think, in, you know, if we look at kind of how things have evolved, it was like, okay, how do we get a person to kind of step away for, you know, 8 to 10 minutes and just take this module, train, check it off? And right now, I would say, you know, we've kind of seen the evolution of, all right, we're in the spot that we're in. How do we actually incorporate these learning moments into the day to day? So maybe you're going through a checklist. You take that, you know, you mark off a checklist, and you mark it as no, that you don't know, you didn't do that checklist piece. And then it gives you a little 30-second video on how to do that, right? And so just incorporating a little bit more of those moments into your everyday flow is where I definitely see the space evolving.
That's so funny that, yeah, it's funny that you picked up on that, because again, we thought 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you're like, oh, this is, I mean, come on, normally you'd sit for 45 minutes and sit and watch a video. And so we shrunk it down by an eighth or a tenth, and people still, their attention spans, it needs to be 15, 30 seconds, 45 seconds at max, and they still might only pick up a portion of it. And so, thank you for bringing me down that path. The second piece that, as you were talking about it, and you see me writing notes here, is how do you get people to adopt it? You started to hit on it. You know, I think adoption is key, because if it doesn't get into the culture, if it doesn't get into the core, it doesn't get into the workflow, then no amount of fantastic training is ever going to do anything for them. If the staff is not pining to figure out, how do I do it? I mean, you can do the old, like, I'm going to stand over top of you and make sure that you do the training. But as you that doesn't work. It only works while that person's standing there. And the minute that they leave, they don't do that. Obviously, you've got your things like ServSafe that you have to do it because you have to get compliance. But there's also things that are, you know, the Chick-fil-A, it's my pleasure. If you don't train on that, then people don't say that. How do you make that part of the core and get the staff to adopt it? Because, again, it's hard. Their attention span's not there. They may, you know, the staff turnover in the restaurants is the highest amongst most industries, which is what makes Wisetail such a fantastic solution for those things. But talk to me a little bit about how you get the staff to adopt it.
Yeah, that's great. Engagement is something that I think we always are concentrating on and always changing the formula for slightly as we're seeing it evolve as our workforce is evolving too, right? So it's you know, engagement probably looks a little bit different now than it did even, you know, 6 months ago, even 9 months ago, right? So, you know, some of what we've seen work really well is content where it's other peers in that content. So it's like they can see and consume content that, you know, maybe I'm a line cook and it's something and someone actually that I work with is in this video, or a coworker from a different location is in a video. Like, we've seen those sort of pieces resonate more. So it's not the studio produced content that mm-hmm. can sometimes be dry, right? It's a lot of what we've seen with socials too, like humor can, incorporated into your training can really help with that engagement piece. So trying to, you know, make the training have those moments where you want to continue it, you want to keep going with it. I would say another piece that can keep your employees really interested in and kind of invested in their learning is the what's in it for me. So if they mm-hmm. see this as an opportunity to grow with the company, as an opportunity to kind of upskill in with their role as it is today, and they see those opportunities within your system or however it is that you're getting that information out, then that's going to be more impactful for them because growth is so important to that individual. So, I mean, those are, it kind of went content first, but then individual second.
So. I love that. Before we jump too far into the recording today, audience, I want to point you guys back to somebody that's been a longtime advertiser and a longtime partner of the Restaurant Technology Guys, the guys over at Pop Menu, and they are bringing something even new and related to the guest experience and helping your restaurant to operate better. If you remember back from the time that they were on the show, they do a lot in the way of guest experience, but their newest product, the Pop Menu Answering Solution, is an AI-based computerized technology that helps answer some of those basic questions that you guys have that come into your restaurant from, do you have outdoor seating? Or, you know, what hours are you guys open? What, are reservations available? Do you guys take online ordering? Do you guys have third-party delivery? Some of these basic questions that take up your team members and don't give them the opportunity to deal with the guest that's in front of them. They've built a solution that is AI-driven, not bad AI, but AI that really is humanized to be able to answer those basic questions for the people that are calling in and allowing your team members the opportunity to interact with the guests that are sitting in your lobby and are coming into the door. For listeners of the podcast, the team over at Pop Menu has offered $100 off if you go to popmenu.com/techguys. And your first month will be $100 off of this service if you sign up for the Pop Menu answering service. I would strongly suggest you guys check it out because I know even for myself as a guest of restaurants, when I'm dealing with the front desk and they're constantly on the phone, it's really tough to interact with them and want to stay there waiting. So check them out. popmenu.com/techguys.
And I think across the board, whether you're doing an LMS or anything, any change that you're trying to implement, I really think it's one of those things, and I say it to my leadership team often, is like, if you're going to deliver something, you need to create the WIFM. You know, what's in it for me? You know, and if you're not creating the WIFM, at the end of the day, you can sit and just pound them into the, you know, but you've got to show them, you know, you've got to show them why it's going to benefit them to take the training, why it's going to benefit them to do this documentation, why it's going to benefit them to run this checklist or any of those kind of things. It's not because you're going to get yelled at, but it's because the guest is going to be safer because they're going to come back more often. It's because you're going to continue to get high levels of tips or whatever those things are that are going to resonate with the audience, the staff members, the frontline staff members that are interacting with the guest or interacting in the kitchen, you know, with other staff members, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. I would also add that I think we've seen it really work well when companies have that clearly defined vision and their values and kind of where they're going and where the growth path for individuals lie within that. And so if you can have those items clearly stated and you're kind of like reminding your core group of those things very, very often, that I think in turn creates a little bit more of an engaged learner organization and kind of comes back to that centering around learning, upskilling, growing as an individual, as part of your company's, you know, vision and values.
I love that. Some of our more avid listeners will know that we as an organization implemented EOS about 18 months ago. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's been huge because we redefined our vision, we redefined our why, we redefined our values. And it is, as an organization, it makes it really clear to define when activities are or are not in the values. And it makes it super easy to be like, well, that really doesn't match with who we are as an organization. And it creates a common language. And I think all too often, restaurants don't have that down to the, you know, down to the individual staff member, where it becomes part of the core and part of the culture of who they are. So it's funny. I have a funny story, and you'll this will probably resonate with you. I was playing golf one time with somebody that worked at In-N-Out, and I had asked them, I'm like, In-N-Out, and if, I mean, I know you don't live in an In-N-Out state, but I'm sure you've been to an In-N-Out once in your life, at least when you were up in Northern California.
Yeah,
and not too different than some of the other really successful brands. They're really consistent. The staff members are always friendly. They're always energetic. They're always clean. You know, there's certain things. My wife actually worked for In-N-Out years ago, and I had asked him, I said, Adrian, what is it about In-N-Out that makes this, you know, makes this thing go? And he turned to me and goes, the cheerleaders. I said, cheerleaders? Like you got girls in pom-poms like showing up? He's like, no, we have people that go to every store every week, every day, to just talk about who In-N-Out is and what they believe and how you're supposed to act. He goes, it is one of our biggest expenses, just making sure that everybody acts the In-N-Out way. And I was like, you know what? That's really, really smart. And this was probably, I mean, clearly this story stuck with me because it's probably been close to 20 years since he told me that story. And I still will share the story because I think it's critical to the success of brands that they understand who they are and what they're going to continue to do, and then reinforce it with tools like yours and other tools that go as part of what's going on.
I think that story also shows how hard it is to scale culture, right? Like if one of the ways to do that is, you know, people going around and kind of reinforcing those pieces, it is something that is a really difficult thing to scale as your brand scales. And so that's super interesting and good story.
I love it. So talk to me a little bit about kind of the delivery mechanism. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of what it, I mean, we've talked about Wisetail, we've talked about the value of what it is, but now I'm a 19-year-old kid. I just, you know, I'm starting to work at a brand and I need to get onboarded. Talk to me a little bit about what does that story look like for a fully developed brand that's, you know, embracing quite a bit of what you guys do at Wisetail. If I were an end user, and then while you're doing that, sprinkle on a little bit of what that looks like for the leadership team that is at that brand that kind of knows how to interact with that end user that's engaging with your guys' platform.
Yeah, definitely. So if you are, you know, I'm going to call more of that like frontline employee, let's say maybe you are new to the organization, you would go, you would get a basically username and password that would, you know, put you into the system. And when you could access it on your phone. A lot of our clients use iPads as well. So any kind of tablet device is really common. About 50% of our users are consuming through some type of mobile device, so either phone or tablet. And when you go in, the system knows who you are, where you're logging in from, kind of all that information. And it's basically going to, on the beginning open main page, tell you what's important. What do I need to do right this moment? What's, you know, kind of assigned to me? And then you're going to have the opportunity to explore in there a little bit further so that you can maybe meet different coworkers, understand a little bit more of the history of your company, like that sort of thing. It's all branded and skinned to look and feel like your organization. So Wisetail may be the software and the skeleton behind that, but you as an individual, as a 19-year-old, you know, line cook, like you're not going to know Wisetail from any other organization because that software looks and feels like the restaurant or the organization that you're working with. And I think that that's one of the important things for adoption too, is just making sure that tool looks like it actually came from the company. And so you'll see that as you're logging in. Your view is going to change if you're more in that manager or leadership standpoint. You could have some admin capabilities, but you're definitely going to have full reporting over your umbrella, be able to pull, maybe it's different reports for compliance or, health and safety standards, that sort of thing. So you have a little bit of a pulse on, okay, here's my organization, or here's, everyone that's a part of my organization. Here's who's maybe completed work, who has not. So it really gives you that individual or location roll up of exactly where your organization is at that time. You may also have some different training available to you, whether that's manager training or, different views to items that, you wouldn't as that mm-hmm. line cook. So.
Okay, yeah, love that. And you'd said something, and you didn't dig too deep into it, but that whole idea, I've been doing this for a long time, and there's those people that do fall through the cracks from time to time where they've got leadership capabilities, they've got the ability, they're really bought into the brand, and if you don't capture them through understanding that they're doing that, talk to me about the digitization of that, and how does a brand know that Allie's a young and up-and-comer, and she's really on the track to getting to management, she's really on the track to getting into leadership versus the kid that's there, it's just the job to make sure that his parents get off his back because he's playing too many video games and really just needs to get out and get a job 20 hours a week kind of thing. How do you guys deal with that? Because I'm sure from the product side, you guys can see how much engagement, how attentive they are, how well they're taking the tests, how well they're exploring other areas of the app versus the areas. And truly, this is not a question that we talked about beforehand, but it's really one of those things that I'm inquisitive about because I think it's key. Talent is really hard to come by. That was one of the things that this executive at In-N-Out would share with me is they grow to the level of the talent that they have and have grown. In-N-Out could be in all 50 states. They could have grown just as fast as any other brand, but they chose intentionally at that time and still are choosing intentionally at that time to stay at the level of the growth that they can sustain the culture and the people. So figuring out who those people are through the training tools and through the onboarding tools, I think is critical. And so talk to me a little bit about how Wisetail is going to help somebody kind of figure out who that rising star is and keep them on the train and moving forward with the brand as you're moving up.
Yeah, we have a lot of different. So basically, every move that you make, without being too creepy. I would say brother on each other, but everything you do within the system is tracked and recorded. So a lot of I think engagement can look different, right? It can be some of the activities that are more, I'm going to say like likes and commenting and different pieces like that show more of, maybe culturally engaged in the brand with the organization. And then there can also be, are you completing all the standard trainings and are you looking to grow within the company and do more, upskilling and take training beyond your maybe position-based training or whatever that looks like. So you can have a full transcript of an individual and really understand what they're doing in the system, where their interests lie, what they're consuming. And then, I think those learners that are super engaged in the system and you're seeing these very high point values that exist with that. So training material you take, you can set different point values for all things throughout the system. And so people with those higher point values are probably, more engaged in the brand and have a lot more to give as far as, leadership within your organization and kind of growth potential within your organization. So it's taking some of that and I think identifying other areas, maybe even assigning different content to them that isn't available at the moment they're at, but, kind of letting them take that next step, that next journey, and really trying to grow them as an individual.
I love that. I mean, it's such a cool concept. And again, I think across the board, we're going to continue to struggle with finding talent. and growing talent, and tools like what you guys have put together are huge. Talk to me. I mean, you can't, we're sitting in early February of 2022. You can't talk about the restaurant industry without talking about the impact that COVID has had. What kind of impact has it had, you know, and the subsequent labor shortage? And I say the labor shortage because there's challenges with labor, and I'm certain you guys have dealt with it both internally to Wisetail, as mm-hmm. well as had your restaurant brands that have struggled with it, where they've got pretty transient workers and trying to onboard. Talk to me a little bit about how Wisetail has both dealt with it from a product perspective and how you've seen other brands solve some of those problems using technology to help with the impacts that many times were out of their control.
Yes. I think restaurants, retailers, fitness industries were all hit really, really hard, in 2020. And I think they were, among the industries that were most impacted. I also don't think that there was an industry kind of not impacted in some yes. way, right? When you look, yes, we were kind of a step removed from the restaurant industry, but we started and our core was really in restaurants. So, about 50% of our client base was in the restaurant space. And so really in 2020, there was a lot of work that we did to kind of navigate in a way of like, how do we help our clients that are in the situation that they're in? Overnight things were changing, so a lot of work that was done on the Wisetail side throughout 2020 was hearing from our clients, understanding ways to support, and also at the same time, like, we were looking at that internally too, like, what did we do organizationally? I would say pushing out messaging throughout the tool was something that we found very impactful very early on with the pandemic. So, meaning getting employee communications out timely and being able to get those in the inboxes of employees so they knew what was going on, how shifts were changing, how locations were closing, all of that thing. I think information is power, and so being able to be that. Technology behind that, I think our clients found very impactful. I think when we fast forward to the time that we're in right now, it's very different. It's not how do we hire very quickly and how do we get people onboarded in a very compressed time frame. Yep. And so right now, it's about how do we squeeze that zero to productive employee down. And so that's a little bit more of a content focus, I think. And so that's where we've been really trying to partner with our clients on, all right, how do you, in some cases, people are coming to us and need a system and needed it yesterday. So it's how do we, condense our implementation process to get them something very, very soon so that they can get something out to their employees and see meaningful impact in a very short period of time. For clients that have been with us, it's okay, I have a 60-day training program. I need to condense it to 15, 30 days. How can we look at this in a different way? And trying to, provide some leadership in that area is been very, very impactful. And so I think we're, we've kind of, with the restaurant industry as well, we went through that shift we saw in 2020 and in some of what was happening throughout 2020. And we really, in 2021, are working on, how can we get employees in and working productively quicker. And the other huge trend I would say we're seeing is learning paths being open to different roles. So for example, I used to be a baker, right? At a, let's say, a bakery shop, right? And now I need to be working the POS system, and I need to be the baker, and I need to be the dishwasher. And so how do I train on all of those aspects so I can, fill in different shifts or, rotate my shifts or work with a little bit slim more slim team. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, and it'll be interesting to see as the labor shortage and struggles, you know, reduce, how much the brands continue to enforce that, because oftentimes it was you're a line cook, and like you don't get to know what a prep cook does, you don't get to know what a dishwasher does. I mean, you've been around doing this for a while. It was like you're stuck in this place and you had to ask permission, and you had to get assigned this stuff, and you had to go through all of these different paths, whereas they forced those issues with the shortages. And then the flip side of it is, I'm sure you guys had to do quite a bit of specific COVID training related to food safety, related to packaging, related to all of those things, because again, so much of it changed what we were doing. I'm sure. But having a tool, I mean, I think it's critical to know that you have a tool to be able to engage with your employees, to be able to get those things out there quickly. Because in a traditional sense, it's a training department that's either having to go around, which they couldn't do that going around because you're not allowed to be in person, or they're producing paper manuals that are getting shipped out. And so having it on digital, and quite frankly, even having it on their own devices oftentimes to be able to do these things, if you're not deploying the iPads, is probably huge. So we've talked a lot about what the product does. There's some stuff that I'm sure, you know, in my notes here, I've got, where are we going? Where do you see this industry going? Where do you see Wisetail going? Where do you see the future for your clients? Where do you see your future for the product? Talk to me a little bit about, you know, I always like to do these things. And quite frankly, it's fun to look back on podcasts from a few years ago and go, hey, did any of that come true? Did any of that actually happen? Because you know what? We don't know what's going to, I mean, none of us would have known 2 years ago that COVID was going to upend all of our lives the way that it has. And so I'm sure you guys have got some really great plans for what you guys are doing. But where do you see the product going? And quite frankly, your industry as far as learning management goes?
Yeah. So, I mean, I could take this in a lot of different directions. I think if we want to go like future, and we look at the restaurant industry, I think there's in this spot where, you know, we're seeing less and less people, you know, joining the restaurant workforce. So how are companies and going to react to that, right? And so we're seeing things like automation we're seeing closing of interiors of stores, right, where the lobbies are closed. Are we going to move to, you know, more of that drive through? Are we going to have more, you know, machine based cooking and, you know, more covering more of the operations of the business, right? I think that's seemed like, you know, it was further away, I think, than it is, because we're starting to see a lot more of that. So that, you know, takes you to the spot. Well, okay, are you then not training individual people, but are you training, or does that flip more to, you know, machines for flipping burgers and different things like that, right? So I think you can go far out in that realm. But I think if we were looking a little bit more closely at the trends that we're seeing kind of maybe over 2022, 2023, I definitely see this, what I would call a system overload, where it was, you know, COVID hit and we kind of as people, we were in a phase of like, all right, I need to figure out how to cover or how to react and navigate this new world that I'm in. I'm going to go buy a different system and buy a system to do this and buy, you know, a software, you know, piece to replace this. And so I think we're in a spot where we have so many systems right now, as companies, it doesn't matter if it's a restaurant or a retailer. And I think we're going to be in this phase where we really need to go through simplification in order to move forward rapidly, where it's like, okay, how are either our systems talking to one another through integration, or we're limiting it to a smaller set of tools? Because right now I think we have a lot, and what's really important, I think, from an employee standpoint or the space that we're working in is being able to, kind of going back to the beginning of our conversation, be able to simplify it for that employee, give them that very small, short piece of information that they need right at that moment. And that's where I think, we're really going to go is really learning, incorporating that just in your flow, and more so than, I mean, there's some of that going on today, but even more in the next 2 years.
Well, and it's funny because oftentimes I talk with our guests that live in this space like yourself, and restaurants were historically such laggards, and, you know, to adopt technology, and then COVID hit and they're like, we have to have this. You know, clients that we talked to for years that was like, you know, oh, you know, you should go do third party delivery. You know, you should do online ordering. You know, you should get a loyalty program to know who your guests are. We're so busy. We don't have time to do any of that stuff. And then COVID hit. And they're like, they call up, hey, I know you've been talking to me about this for 4 years, but I need it tomorrow. And you're like, oh my gosh. And so they adopted stuff oftentimes without forethought as to how it's going to impact them long term because they needed a solution today. I think it's a great call out. And I think the democratization of technology across the board continues to create unique opportunities to where everything doesn't have to be in its own silo. You can have the point of sale talk to Wisetail to say they screwed up this transaction 14 times. Let's kick a trigger to Wisetail to force them to do this training. And then they're not allowed to log back into the point of sale if you want to until they've taken that training. And some things like that, I'm sure, are going to end up blending together as time goes on.
Yes, that's exactly where I think it's going is really getting those systems to drive and talk to one another so that triggers can happen between them and we have really a more seamless digital stack where right now I think companies are operating with so many different tools. And a lot of the tools, not all of them, but a lot of tools are working in silos. So how can we bring those together for really a lot more cohesive story and experience?
Love that. So I've got one last question for you before we wrap up. I get the argument when I talk to people about a specific product like Wisetail that's really does some stuff really, really, really well. And they'll come to me and say, well, I already have the solution in my back office system. They already have a training manual. Why don't I just use that? Why do I need to use Wisetail? You're laughing at me because you know this question comes up in your guys' pitches all the time. Hey, I'm already using this tool for it. I've already got a training department that doesn't, you know, they don't need all of this stuff. But there's a specific reason why Wisetail is a market leader in what you guys do, because you guys do certain things so much better than this. Hey, I got this add-on LMS that's a benefit to something that really is doing inventory management or purchasing management or whatever. Talk to me a little bit about why. What makes Wisetail such a unique solution, and how would you answer that argument to that restaurateur that's like, I already have this in my back office solution. I don't need Wisetail specifically.
Yeah, it does come up, and I think that. So I mean, I think it's a. Like philosophically, I am a huge advocate of that. Like you're best in class, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you a solution that solves this actual problem, or is the problem that you're trying to solve a component of a different solution, right? Yep. And so I am someone that is going to, I can tell you, all the reasons why Wisetail, but I think that you really have to look at your organization and look at the problem that you're looking to solve. And then you break that down with the tool that, or tools that are going to, be able to solve that inherent pain point or need. So when you look at, let's say the HRIS system that has that mm-hmm. learning flow into it. Are you trying to solve a communication, a consistency problem, like really breaking down what it is that you're trying to solve and then understand if an add-on system is solving all of those pieces, or is it just checking a learning box for you? And so it's that breakdown of what is the overall problem. And, I think that there are some organizations that it's like maybe a learning management system or a learning experience platform isn't the right spot right now for where the organization is. Maybe they do just need a couple of onboarding modules and the HRIS system works, right? Like there mm-hmm. are definitely companies in that space. But I think once you're at a point where you're really scaling your organization, you have to really identify the problem. And I think the problem that you're trying to solve is oftentimes outside of training. It's not yep. just training. It's a wider problem. And so.
Well, and I think to your point, I think checking the box versus actually getting your staff to engage in it and use it and make them better is a very different platform and very different idea. I think at this point I've got to wrap because we're at almost 48 minutes. And you know what? I could talk to you forever because I think this is really cool. And I tell our listeners I'm really selfish and I get the front row seat to learn about these really cool products. And it's fun for me. But if people want to engage more with the Wisetail team and what you guys do, tell me a little bit about how they would do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we're just wisetail.com. So if you just go to wisetail.com and you can go in there, there's varying different areas in the site to get in contact with us, but just fill in either request a demo, have a conversation, kind of any of those spots are great. And definitely, I would say if you've heard this podcast, reference that in your reach out to us just so that we know that you listened to this conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ali, I can't thank you enough. I know we could probably spend another 90 minutes talking about the awesome things you and your team are doing over there, but unfortunately, everybody stops listening after about 45 minutes, 46 minutes. And so we're going to wrap up for today's conversation. For those that liked what Ali had to say, please go check them out. We've got lots of clients at CBS that use their products and they're awesome from that perspective. And again, even if it's not Wisetail, I would strongly recommend you guys go look at other LMS systems out there and LMS system, because you know what? As you get to scale, doing it well, doing it right, I have a vested interest personally in making sure that the restaurant industry continues to stay vibrant and you guys do it well. So if you guys haven't already done so, while you guys are online checking out Wisetail, go subscribe to the newsletter. Once a month, you get an email with all of the podcasts and blog posts that went out. Ali, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time as well.
And to our audience, guys, make it a fantastic day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.